Wow. So how was it?
I don't know. To be honest, it was kind of weird, but he was really sweet afterward, asking me over and over if I was okay. And at night, he came to my house and brought me 3 dozen red roses. I had to lie to my parents and say they were for our anniversary. I couldn't very well say the flowers were in celebration of his taking my virginity. What about you and Colin?
Colin wants to have sex, I tell her. Every guy over the age of 14 wants to have sex, she says. It's their job to want to do it.
I just don't want to. At least not now.
Then it's your job to say no, she says, as if it's that easy.
Sierra isn't a virgin anymore. She'd said yes. Why is it so hard for me to say yes, too?
How will I know when it's the right time? You sure as hell won't be asking me about it. I guess when you're totally ready, you'll want to do it with no reservations or questions. We know they want to have sex. It's up to you to make it happen. Or not. Listen, the first time wasn't fun or easy. It was kind of sloppy, and most of the time I felt stupid. Opening yourself up to making mistakes and being vulnerable is what makes it beautiful and special with the person you love.
Is that why I haven't wanted to do it with Colin? Maybe deep down I don't love him as much as I thought. Am I even capable of loving someone so much that I open myself up to being vulnerable? I really don't know.
Tyler broke up with Darlene today, Sierra whispers to me. He started dating a girl in his dorm.
If I didn't feel sorry for Darlene before, now I do. Especially because she thrives on attention from guys. It fuels her self-esteem. It's no wonder she was totally all over Shane tonight. I watch as the rest of the guys and Darlene come into view and set blankets down on the beach. Darlene grabs Shane's shirt and pulls him aside.
Let's go make out, she tells him.
Shane is all too ready to honor her request. Pulling her away from him, I lean close and say so only she can hear.
Don't fool around with Shane.
Why not?
Because you don't like him like that. Don't use him, or let him use you.
Darlene pushes me away.
You seriously have a demented view of reality, Britt. Or maybe you want to point out everyone else's imperfections so you stay the queen of perfect.
That's not fair. I don't want to point out her flaws, but if I see her going on a self-destructive path, isn't it up to me as her friend to stop her?
Maybe not. We're friends, but not super close friends. The only one I let close enough is Sierra. How dare I give Darlene advice when she can't reciprocate?
Sierra, Doug, Colin, and I sit on blankets and talk about the last football game in front of a bonfire we make with sticks and old pieces of wood. We laugh, remembering the missed plays and imitating the football coach who yelled at the players from the sidelines. His face gets all red, and when he's really upset, spit flies out of his mouth as he yells. Players get out of the way so they don't get sprayed. Doug does a hilarious imitation of him. It feels good sitting here with my friends and Colin, and for a while I forget about my chemistry partner who's been occupying my thoughts lately. After a while, Sierra and Doug go for a walk, and I'm leaning against Colin in front of the fire, the light giving the sand around us a bright glow. Darlene and Shane have hooked up for the night, despite my advice against it, and aren't back yet. I grab the bottle of Chardonnay the guys brought. The boys have been drinking beer, and the girls have been drinking wine, because Sierra hates the taste of beer. I bring the bottle to my lips and finish it off. I'm feeling buzzed, but I probably need to drink an entire bottle myself in order to feel completely carefree.
Did you miss me this summer?
I ask, leaning into Colin as he smooths down my hair. It's probably a mess. I wish I was drunk enough not to care. Colin takes my hand in his and leads it to his crotch. He lets out a slow, moaning breath.
Yeah, he says into my neck. Lots.
When I take my hand back, his arms snake around to my front. He squeezes my boobs like they're water balloons. I've never minded Colin's touch before, but now I'm annoyed and creeped out by his roving hands. I shrug out of his grasp.
What's wrong, Britt?
I don't know.
I really don't know.
Things with Colin seem strange since school started, and thoughts of Alex keep invading my head, which is annoying me more than anything. I reach over and grab a beer.
It feels forced,
I tell my boyfriend as I open the can and take a sip.
Can't we sit here without fooling around?
Colin lets out a long, dramatic, deep breath.
Britt, I want to do it.
I try and down the entire can in one gulp, but end up spewing out some of it.
You mean now?
Where our friends can see us if they turn around?
Why not? We've waited long enough.
I don't know, Colin, I say, really scared to be having this conversation, although I knew it was coming.
I guess I thought it would happen naturally. What can be more natural than doing it outside, in the sand?
What about condoms?
I'll pull out.
That doesn't sound romantic at all. I'll be freaking out the entire time and worrying about getting pregnant. Not how I want my first time to be.
Making love means a lot to me.
To me, too.
So let's do it already.
I feel like this summer changed you.
Maybe it did, he says defensively. Maybe I realized our relationship has to be more. Jeez, Britt, who ever heard of a senior being a fucking virgin? Everyone thinks we've done it. Why don't we just do it? Shit, you even let that guy Fuentes think he can get into your pants.
My heart slams into my chest.
You think I'd rather sleep with Alex than you?
I ask, my eyes getting watery. I don't know if it's the alcohol making me emotional, or if it's because his words hit the target. My thoughts are on my chem partner. I hate myself for having these thoughts, and hate Colin right now for pointing it out.
What about Darlene?
I throw back. I look around, making sure Darlene is out of hearing range.
You two are like one cozy couple in chemistry class.
Get off it, Britt.
So some girl pays attention to me in chemistry.
Obviously you don't, because you're too busy arguing with Fuentes. Everyone knows it's all foreplay.
That's not fair, Colin.
What's going on? Sierra says, walking up with Doug from behind a large boulder.
Nothing,
I tell her. I stand up, my sandals in hand.
I'm going home.
Sierra grabs her purse.
I'll go with you.
No. I'm finally feeling lightheaded. It's like I'm having an out-of-body experience, and I want to go through it all by myself.
I don't want or need anyone. I'll walk.
She's drunk, Doug says, eyeing the empty bottle and beer can beside me.
Am not,
I tell them. I snatch another beer and open it as I walk down the beach. Alone. By myself. Which is how it should be. Sierra says,
I don't want you going alone. I just want to be by myself right now. I need to sort things out.
Britt, come back here, Colin says, but doesn't get up. I ignore him.
Don't go past the fourth pier, Sierra warns. It's not safe.
Safe schmafe. So what if something happens to me anyway? Colin doesn't care, or my parents for that matter. Closing my eyes as the sand sinks between my toes, I breathe in the scent of the fresh, cool Lake Michigan breeze washing over my face, and drink more beer. Forgetting everything except the sand and my beer, I continue walking, pausing only to look out over the dark water with moonlight shining across it like a line splitting the water in two. I've passed two piers, or maybe three. Anyway, it's not a long walk home, less than a mile. When I get to the next beach entrance, I'll walk up the street and head home. It's not like I haven't done it before. But the sand feels so good beneath my feet, like one of those squishy beanbag pillows you sink into. And I hear music up ahead. I love music. Closing my eyes, my body moves to the unfamiliar song. I haven't realized how far I've walked and danced until the sound of laughing and voices in Spanish make me freeze. People wearing red and black bandanas in front of me are a clue I've gone past the fourth pier.
Look, everybody! It's Brittany Ellis, Fairfield High's sexiest pom-pom girl, a guy says. Come here, mamacita. Dance with me.
I scan the crowd desperately for a familiar or friendly face. Alex, he's here. Sitting in his lap facing him is Carmen Sanchez. A sobering picture. Another guy advances on me.
Don't you know this side of the beach is for Mexicanos only?
He says, moving closer.
Or maybe you've come sniffing for some dark meat. You know what they say, baby. Dark meat's the juiciest.
Leave me alone. My words are slurred.
You think you're too good for me?
He moves toward me, his eyes full of anger. The music stops. I stagger backward. I'm not too drunk to know I'm in danger.
Javier, lay off.
Alex's voice is low. It's an order. Alex is caressing Carmen's shoulder, his lips mere inches from it. I sway. This is a nightmare, and I need to get away. Fast. I start running, the gang members' laughter ringing in my ears. I can't run fast enough, and feel like I'm in a dream where my feet are moving, but I'm not going anywhere.
Brittany! Wait!
A voice calls from behind me. I turn around and I'm face to face with the guy who's haunting my dreams. Daydreams. And night dreams. Alex. The guy who I hate. The guy who I can't get out of my mind no matter how drunk I am.
Ignore Javier, Alex says. Sometimes he gets carried away trying to be a badass.
I'm stunned when he steps closer and wipes a tear from my cheek.
Don't cry. I wouldn't let him hurt you.
Should I tell him I'm not afraid of being hurt? I'm afraid of not being in control. Though I haven't run far, it's far enough from Alex's friends. They can't see me or hear me.
Why do you like Carmen?
I ask as the world tilts and I stumble in the sand.
She's mean.
He holds out his hands to help me, but I flinch. So he stuffs his hands in his pockets.
What the fuck do you care, anyway? You stood me up.
I had stuff going on.
Like washing your hair? Or getting a manicure?
Or having my hair ripped out by my sister and getting reamed out by my mom? I jab my finger into his chest.
You're an asshole.
And you're a bitch, he says. A bitch with a kick-ass smile and eyes that can seriously screw with a guy's head.
He winces, as if the words slipped out and he wants to take them back. I was expecting him to say a lot of things, but not that. Especially not that. I notice his bloodshot eyes.
You're high, Alex.
Yeah, well, you don't look too sober yourself. Maybe now's a good time to give me that kiss you owe me.
No way.
Por qué no? Afraid you like it so much you'll forget your boyfriend?
Kiss Alex?
Never.
Although, I've been thinking about it. A lot. More than I should. His lips are full and inviting. Oh, boy. He's right. I am drunk. And I'm definitely not feeling right. I'm past numbness and going on delirium, because I'm thinking things I have no business thinking, like how I want to know what his lips feel like against mine. Fine. Kiss me, Alex, I say, stepping forward and leaning into him. Then we'll be even. His hands are braced on my arms. This is it. I'm going to kiss Alex and find out what it's like. He's dangerous, and he mocks me, but he's sexy and dark and beautiful. Being this close to him makes my body shiver with excitement and my head spin. I loop my finger through his belt loop to steady myself. It's like we're standing on a tilt-a-whirl ride at the carnival.
You're gonna be sick, he says to me.
I'm not. I'm enjoying the ride.
We're not on a ride.
Oh, I say, all confused. I let go of his belt loop and focus on my feet. They look like they're moving off the ground, floating over the sand. I'm dizzy, that's all. I'm fine.
The hell you are.
If you'd stop moving, I'd feel a lot better.
I'm not moving, and I hate to break the bad news, Mamacita, but you're about to puke.
He's right. My stomach won't stop churning. He's holding me up with one hand while his other is wound in my hair, keeping it away from my face as I bend over and throw up. I can't stop my stomach from roiling. I throw up and heave again. Disgusting gurgling and gagging sounds come from my mouth, but I'm too drunk to care. Look at that, I say between puking fits. My dinner is all over your shoe.
Alex. I look down at the chunks on my shoe. I've had worse done to me. She straightens, so I let go of her hair, which I couldn't help but save from falling on her face during her puking episode. I'm trying not to think of how that hair felt as it slid through my fingers like silky threads. Thoughts of being a pirate and stealing her away to my ship race across my mind. Although I'm not a pirate, and she's not my captured princess. We're just two teenagers who hate each other. Okay, so I don't really hate her. I slide the bandana off my head and hand it to her. Here, wipe your face. She takes it from me and dabs the sides of her mouth as if it's a napkin from a high-class restaurant while I clean my shoe in the cold Lake Michigan water. I don't know what to say or do. I'm alone with a very drunk Brittany Ellis. I'm not used to being alone with sloppy drunk white chicks, especially ones who turn me on. I can either take advantage of her and win the bet, which would be a slam dunk in her condition, or... Let me get someone to drive you home, I say before my fucked up mind thinks of a million ways I could violate her tonight. I'm buzzed from alcohol and high, too. When I have sex with this girl, I want all my faculties. She purses her lips and pouts like a kid. No, I don't want to go home. Anywhere but home. Oh, man. I'm in trouble. Tengo un problema grande. She looks up at me, her eyes in the moonlight sparking like rare, expensive jewels. Colin thinks I want you, you know. He says our bickering is foreplay. Is it? I ask, holding my breath to hear her response. Please, please let me remember the answer in the morning. She puts her finger up and says, Hold that thought. Then she kneels on the ground and pukes her guts out again. When she's finished, she's too weak to walk. She resembles a garage sale leftover rag doll. I carry her to where my friends have built a huge bonfire, not knowing what else to do. When she wraps her arms around my neck, I sense she needs someone to be her champion in life. Surely Colin isn't the one. I'm not the one either. I heard her freshman year before Colin, she dated a junior. The girl has got to be experienced. So how come right now she looks so innocent? Sexy as hell, but innocent. All eyes are on me when I get close to my friends. They see a limp, rich white girl in my arms and they immediately think the worst. I didn't mention that during the walk my camp partner decided to fall asleep in my arms. What did you do to her? Paco asks. Lucky stands, totally pissed. Shit, Alex! Did I lose my RX-7? No, dumbass. I don't do passed out chicks. Out of the corner of my eye, I see a seething Carmen. Shit. I royally screwed her over tonight and deserve her wrath. I motion for Isabel to talk to me. Isa, I need you. Isa takes one look at Brittany. What do you want me to do with her? Help me get her out of here. I'm wasted and can't drive. Isa shakes her head. You do realize she has a boyfriend, and she's rich and white, and wears designer clothes you'll never be able to afford. Yeah, I know that. And I'm sick and tired of being reminded of it. I need your help, Isa, not a lecture. I've got Paco giving me his crap already. Isa holds up her hands. I'm just pointing out facts. You're a smart guy, Alex. Add it up. No matter how much you might want her in your life, she doesn't belong. A triangle can't fit into a square. Now I'll shut up. Gracias. I don't point out that if it's a big enough square, a small triangle can fit inside perfectly. All you have to do is make a few adjustments in the equation. I'm too drunk and high to explain it now. I'm parked across the street, Isa says. She lets out a big, frustrated sigh. Follow me. I follow Isabel to her car, hoping we can walk in silence. No such luck. I was in class with her last year, too, Isa says. Mm-hmm. She shrugs. Nice girl. Wears too much makeup. Most chicks hate her. Most chicks wish they looked like her. And they wish they had her money and boyfriend. I stop and regard her in disgust. Burro face? Oh, please, Alex. Colin Adams is cute. He's the captain of the football team and Fairfield's hero. You're like Danny Zuko in Greece. You smoke, you're in a gang, and you've dated the hottest bad girls around. Brittany is like Sandy. A Sandy who'll never show up to school in a black leather jacket with a ciggy hanging from her mouth. Give up the fantasy. I lay my fantasy in the backseat of Isa's car and slide in next to her. She snuggles up, using me as her personal pillow, her blonde curls sprawled over my crotch. I close my eyes for a second, trying to get the image out of my head. And I don't know what to do with my hands. My right one is on the door armrest. My left one hovers over Brittany. I hesitate. Who am I kidding? I'm not a virgin. I'm an 18-year-old guy who can deal with having a hot, passed-out girl next to me. Why am I afraid of putting my arm where it's comfortable, right over her midsection? I hold my breath as I settle my arm on her. She cuddles closer, and I'm feeling weird and lightheaded. Either it's the after-effects from the joint, or I don't want to think about the or. Her long hair is wrapped around my thigh. Without thinking, I weave my hands in her hair and watch as the silky strands slowly fall through the V's between my fingers. I stop abruptly. There's a big, irritated, bald spot on her scalp, in the back of her head, as if she had to have a drug test for a job or something, and they ripped out a big chunk for a sample. As Isa backs up the car, Paco stops her and jumps into the front seat. I quickly cover Brittany's bald spot, not wanting to show anyone her imperfection. I'm not about to analyze my motives for that move, since it'll cause me to think too hard. Thinking hard in my condition will hurt badly. Hey, guys. I thought I'd come along for the ride, Paco says. He turns around and sees my arm on Brittany. He disks and shakes his head. Shut up, I tell him. I didn't say anything. A cell phone rings. I can feel the vibration through Brittany's pants. It's hers, I say. Answer it, Isa instructs. I already feel like I've kidnapped the girl. Now I'm gonna answer her cell? Shit. Rolling her a bit, I feel for the bulge in her back pocket.
Contesta!
Isa whispers loudly, this time in Spanish.
I am!
I hiss, my fingers clumsy as I fumble for the phone.
I'll do it, Paco says, leaning over the seats and reaching toward Brittany's ass.
I whack his hand away.
Get your hands off her!
Jeez, man, I was just trying to help. My response is a glare. I slide my fingers into her back pocket, trying not to think about what it would feel like without her jeans in the way. I slide the phone out inch by inch while it vibrates. When I have the phone free, I look at the caller ID. It's her friend Sierra.
Answer it, Paco says.
¿Estás loco, güey? I'm not talking to one of them.
Then why'd you get it out of her pocket?
That's a good question. One I don't know how to answer. Isa shakes her head.
That's what you get for mixing with a square.
We should take her home, Paco says.
You can't keep her.
I know that, but I'm not ready to give her up just yet. Isa, take her to your house.
Brittany. I'm having a nightmare that a thousand little Oompa Loompas are in my head, hammering my skull. Opening my eyes to bright light, I wince. The Oompa Loompas are still in there, and I'm awake. You've got a hangover, a girl says to me. When I squint, I find Isabel standing over me. We're in what looks like a small bedroom, with walls painted a pastel yellow. Matching yellow curtains are billowing in the wind from the open windows. It can't be my house because we never open the windows. We always have the air conditioning or heat on. I squint up at her. Where am I? My house. I wouldn't move if I were you. You might puke again, and my parents will freak if you mess up their carpeting, she says. Lucky for us, they're out of town, so I get the house to myself until tonight. How did I get here? The last thing I remember was starting to walk home. You passed out at the beach. Alex and I brought you here. At the mention of Alex, my eyes opened fully. I vaguely remember drinking, then walking on the sand and finding Alex and Carmen together, and then Alex and I... Did I kiss him? I know I leaned in, but then I puked. I distinctly remember puking. Not the perfect image I'm trying to project. I sit up slowly, hoping sometime soon my head will stop spinning. Did I do anything stupid? I ask. Issa shrugs. I'm not sure. Alex wouldn't really let anyone get close enough to you. If you want to call passing out in his arms stupid, then I think you've managed it. I drop my head in my hands. Oh, no. Isabel, please don't tell anyone on the squad. She's smiling. Don't worry. I won't tell anybody that Brittany Ellis is in fact human. Why are you nice to me? I mean, when Carmen wanted to beat my face in, you defended me. And you let me sleep here last night, even though you made it very clear we're not friends. We're not friends. Carmen and I have a rivalry that goes way back. I'd do just about anything to piss her off. She can't stand that Alex isn't her boyfriend anymore. Why did they break up? Ask him yourself. He's sleeping on the couch in the living room. He passed out as soon as he carried you to my bed. Oh, no. Alex is here? In Isabel's house? He likes you, you know, Isabel says, looking at her fingernails instead of at me. Butterflies start flittering around in my stomach. He does not, I say, even though I'm tempted to ask for details. She rolls her eyes. Oh, please. You know it, even if you don't want to admit it. For someone who says they'll never be friends with me, you sure are sharing a lot this morning. I have to admit, I kind of wish you were the bitch some people say you are, she says. Why? Because it's easy to hate someone who has it all. A short, cynical laugh escapes from my mouth. I'm not about to tell her the truth, that my life is crumbling beneath my toes just like that sand was last night. I've got to get home. Where's my cell? I ask, patting my back pocket. Alex has it, I think. So sneaking out without talking to him isn't an option. I struggle to keep the Oompa Loompas at bay as I stagger out of the bedroom, searching for Alex. It's not hard to find him. The house is smaller than Sierra's pool house. Alex is lying on an old sofa wearing jeans. Nothing else. His eyes are open, but they're bloodshot and glazed with sleep. Hey, he says warmly while stretching. Oh, God, I'm in big trouble. Because I'm staring. I can't keep my eyes from ogling his chiseled triceps and biceps and every other eps he has. The butterflies in my stomach have just multiplied tenfold as my wandering gaze meets his. Hey, I swallow hard. I guess I should thank you for taking me here instead of leaving me passed out on the beach. His gaze doesn't falter. Last night I realized something. You and I, we're not so different. You play the game just like I do. You use your looks, your bod, and your brains to make sure you're always in control. I'm hungover, Alex. I can't even think straight, and you're getting all philosophical on me. See, you're playing a game right now. Be real with me, mamacita. I dare you. Is he kidding? Be real? I can't, because then I'll start crying and maybe freak out enough to blurt the truth. That I create a perfect image so I can hide behind it. I better get home. Before you do that, you should probably go to the bathroom, he says. Before I ask why, I catch a glimpse of my reflection in a mirror hanging on the wall. Oh, shit! I shriek. Black mascara is caked under my eyes, and streaky lines of it are running down my cheeks. I resemble a corpse. Hurrying past him, I find the hall bathroom and stare at myself in the mirror. My hair is a stringy bird's nest. If the mascara marring my cheeks wasn't bad enough, the rest of me is as pale as my Aunt Dolores without her makeup. I have puffy bags under my eyes as if I'm storing water for the winter months. All in all, not a pretty sight, by anyone's standards. I wet toilet paper and rub it under my eyes and on my cheeks until the streaks are gone. Okay, so I need eye makeup remover in order to get it completely off, and my mom warned me that rubbing under my eyes will stretch out my skin and I'll be subject to premature wrinkles. But desperate circumstances call for desperate measures. After the mascara streaks are unnoticeable, I dab cold water on my eye bags. I'm fully aware that this is damage control. I can only bandage the imperfections and hope nobody else sees me in this condition. I use my fingers as a comb, with little results. Then I poof my hair up, hoping the poof will look better than the ratty nest look. I rinse my mouth with water and rub my teeth with some toothpaste, hoping to get the worst of the night of puking and sleeping and drunkenness from my mouth until I get home. If only I had lip gloss with me. But alas, I don't. Squaring my shoulders and keeping my head held high, I open the door and walk back to the living room to find Isabel walking to her room and Alex standing when he sees me. "Where's my cell phone?" I ask. "And please put a shirt on." He reaches down and grabs my phone off the floor.
"Why?"
"The reason I need my cell," I say as I take it from him, "is to call a cab. And the reason I want you to put a shirt on is, well, because...
You've never seen a guy with his shirt off?"
"Ha ha, very funny. Believe me, you don't have anything I haven't seen before."
"Wanna bet?"
he says, then moves his hands to the button on his jeans and pops it open. Isabel walks in at that exact moment.
"Whoa, Alex, please, keep your pants on."
When she looks over at me, I put my hands up. "Don't look at me! I was just about to call a cab when he..." Shaking her head while Alex buttons back up, she walks to her purse and picks up a set of keys. "Forget the cab. I'll drive you home."
"I'll drive her," Alex cuts in.
Isabel seems exhausted dealing with us, similar to how Mrs. Peterson looks during chemistry class.
"Would you rather me drive you or Alex?" she asks.
"I have a boyfriend." "Okay. So I admit, every time I catch Alex looking at me, a warmth spreads through my body. But it's normal. We're two teenagers with obvious sexual tension passing between us. As long as I never act on it, everything will be just fine. Because if I ever did act on it, the consequences would be disastrous. I'd lose Colin. I'd lose my friends. I'd lose the control I have over my life. Most of all, I'd lose what's left of my mother's love. If I'm not seen as perfect, what happened yesterday with my mom would seem tame. Being perfect to the outside world equates to how my mom treats me. If any of her country club friends see me out with Alex, my mom might as well be an outcast too. If she's shunned by her friends, I'll be shunned by her. I can't take that chance. This is as real as I can afford to get. "Isabel, take me home," I say, then look at Alex. He gives a small shake of his head, grabs his shirt and keys, and storms out the front door without another word. I silently follow Isabel to her car. "You like Alex more than as a friend, don't you?" I ask.
"More like a brother. We've known each other since we were kids."
I give her directions to my house. Is she telling me the truth?
"You don't think he's hot?" "I've known him since he cried like a baby when his ice cream fell on the street when we were 4 years old. I was there when... well... just leave it at the fact that we've been through a lot of stuff together."
"Stuff? Want to elaborate?"
Not with you. I could almost see the invisible wall going up between us. So, our friendship ends here? She looks at me sideways. Our friendship just began, Brittany. Don't push it. We're coming up to my house. It's the third one on the right, I say. I know. She stops her car in front of my house, not bothering to pull into the driveway. I look at her. She looks at me. Does she expect me to ask her in? I don't even let good friends come into my house. Well, thanks for the ride, I say, and for letting me crash at your place. Isabel flashes me a weak smile. No problem. I cling to the door handle. I won't let anything happen between me and Alex, okay? Even if there's something going on below the surface. Good. Because if something does, it's going to blow up in your faces. The Oompa Loompas start knocking again, so I can't think too hard about her warning. In the house, my mother and father are sitting at the kitchen table. It's quiet. Too quiet. There are papers in front of them. Brochures or something. They quickly straighten like little kids caught doing something wrong. I thought you were still at Sierra's, my mom says. My senses pick up. My mom never stutters, and she's not giving me shit about the way I look. This is not good. I was, but I got a killer headache, I say, walking forward and focusing on the suspicious brochures my parents are so interested in. Sunny Acres Home for Special People. What are you guys doing?
Discussing our options, my dad says.
Options? Didn't we all agree that sending Shelley away was a bad idea? My mom turns to me.
No, you decided sending her away was a bad idea. We were still discussing it.
I'm going to Northwestern next year so I can live at home and help.
Next year, you'll have to concentrate on your studies, not your sister.
Brittany, listen, my dad says, standing.
We have to look into this option. After what she did to you yesterday.
I don't want to hear it, I tell him, cutting him off. There is absolutely no way I'm letting you send my sister away. I snatch the brochures off the table. Shelley needs to be with her family, not in a facility with some strangers. I tear the brochures in two, toss them into the garbage can, then run to my bedroom.
Open the door, Britt, my mom says, jiggling my bedroom doorknob a minute later.
I sit on the edge of my bed, my mind whirling with the image of Shelley being sent away. No, it can't happen. The thought makes me sick. You didn't even train Bogda. It's like you wanted to send Shelley away all along. Don't be ridiculous. My mom's muffled voice comes through the door. There's a new facility being built in Colorado. If you'd open this door, we can have a civilized discussion about it. I'll never let it happen. I'll do everything in my power to keep my sister at home. I don't want to have a civilized discussion. My parents want to send my sister to a facility behind my back, and my head feels like it's about to split open. Leave me alone, okay? Something is sticking out of my pocket. It's Alex's bandana. Isabel isn't a friend, yet she helped me. And Alex, a boy who cared about me last night more than my own boyfriend did, acted as my hero and is urging me to be real. Do I even know how to be real? I clutch the bandana to my chest and allow myself to cry.
Alex. She called me. If it weren't for the ripped piece of paper with her name and number scribbled on it by my brother Luis, I'd never believe Brittany actually dialed my number. Grilling Luis hadn't helped, because the kid has the memory of a flea, and hardly remembered taking the call. The only info I got was that she wanted me to call her back. That was yesterday afternoon, before she puked her guts out on my shoe and passed out in my arms. When I told her to be real,
I could see the fear in her eyes. I wonder what she's afraid of. Breaking down her perfection wall is going to be my goal. I know there's more to her than blonde streaks and a killer bod. Secrets she'll take to the grave, and secrets she's dying to share. Oh, man. She's like a mystery, and all I can think about is unraveling the clues. When I told her we're similar, I wasn't bullshitting. This connection we have isn't going away. It's only getting stronger, because the more I spend time with her, the closer I want to be. I have the urge to call Brittany just to hear her voice, even if it's filled with venom. Flipping open my cell as I sit on the sofa in my living room, I enter her number into memory.
Who are you calling?
Paco asks, barging into my house without ringing or knocking. Isa files in behind him. I click my phone shut.
Nadie. Then get your ass off that couch and come play soccer.
Playing soccer is a hell of a lot better than sitting here thinking about Brittany and her secrets, even if I'm still feeling the effects of last night's partying. We head to the park, where a bunch of guys are already warming up. Mario, a guy in my class whose brother died in a drive-by last year, slaps me on the back.
Wanna play goalie, Alex?
No. I have what you call an offensive personality. In soccer, and in life.
Paco, what about you?
Paco agrees, and takes his position, which is sitting on his ass in front of the goal line. As usual, my lazy friend sits until the ball rolls to his side of the field. Most of the guys playing are from my neighborhood. We've grown up together. Played on this playground since we were kids and even got initiated into the Latino blood at the same time. Before I was jumped in, I remember Lucky telling us how being in a gang was like having a second family. A family who would be there for you when your own family wasn't. They would offer protection and security. It sounded perfect to a kid who'd lost his father. Over the years, I've learned to block out the bad stuff. The beatings, the dirty drug deals, the shootings. And I'm not just talking about guys on the other side. I know of guys who tried to get out. Guys who were found dead or beaten so badly by their own gang, they probably wish they were dead. To be honest, I block it out because it scares the shit out of me. I'm supposed to be tough enough not to care, but I do. We take our positions on the field. I imagine the ball holds a jackpot. If I keep it away from everyone else and kick it into the goal, I'll magically transform into a rich and powerful guy who can take my family, and Paco, away from this hellhole neighborhood. There's a lot of good players on each team. The other side has an advantage because we have Paco as our goalie, scratching his balls on the other end of the field.
Yo, Paco, stop playing with yourself!
Mario yells. Paco's answer is making a huge point of grabbing his balls and juggling them in his hands. Chris shoots the ball right past him and scores. Mario picks up the ball from inside the goal and chucks it at Paco.
If you were as interested in the game as you are in your huevos, they wouldn't have scored.
I can't help it if they itch, man. Your girlfriend must have given me crabs last night.
Mario laughs, not believing for a second his girlfriend would cheat on him. Paco tosses the ball to Mario, who passes to Lucky. Lucky brings the ball downfield. He passes it to me, and I have my chance. I dribble down the makeshift field, pausing only to gauge how far I have to go before I kick it into the goal. Faking to the left, I pass to Mario, and he passes it back. With one swift kick, the ball soars right, and we've scored.
Goal!
Our team sings as Mario gives me a high five. Our celebration is short-lived, though. A blue Escalade is creeping suspiciously down the street.
Recognize it?
Mario asks, tensing. The game stops as guys realize there's something not cool.
Maybe it's retaliation, I say.
My eyes never leave the car window. When the car stops, we're all waiting for a glimpse of either someone or something to emerge from the car. When it does, we'll be ready. But I'm not. My brother Carlos steps out of the car with a guy named Will. Will's ma is in the blood and recruits new members. My brother better not be one of those recruits. I've worked too damn hard making sure he knows I'm in the blood so he doesn't have to be. If one family member is in, the rest are protected. I'm in. Carlos and Luis aren't, and I'll do anything to make sure they stay that way. I put on a game face and walk over to Will, soccer completely forgotten.
New car?
I ask him, eyeing his wheels.
It's my mom's.
Nice. I turn to my brother. Where have you guys been hanging? Carlos leans against the car, as if hanging with Will is no big deal. Will got initiated recently, and now he thinks he's the shit.
At the mall. They've got this cool new guitar store. Hector met us there, and...
Did I hear right?
Hector?
The last thing I want is my brother hanging around Hector. Will, with his big shirt hanging over his pants, whacks Carlos on the shoulder to shut him up. My brother closes his mouth as if something was about to fly in it. I swear I'll kick his ass from here to Mexico, if he even thinks about joining the Blood.
Fuentes, you in or out?
Someone yells from the field. Keeping my anger hidden, I turn to my brother and his friend, who's capable of luring him to the dark side.
Wanna play?
Nah, we're gonna hang at my house, Will says.
I shrug, nonchalantly, not feeling the least bit nonchalant.
¿Qué me importa?
I walk to the field, even if I have the urge to grab Carlos by the ear and drag him home. I can't afford to cause a scene that might get back to Hector, who might start questioning my loyalty. Sometimes I feel my life is one big lie. Carlos leaves with Will. That, combined with the fact that I can't get Brittany out of my mind, is driving me nuts. On the field, when the game starts back up, I'm restless. Suddenly, it's like the players on the other team aren't guys I know, but enemies in the way of everything I want. I charge the ball.
Foul!
A cousin of one of my friends yells at me when I slam into him. I put up my hands.
That was not a foul.
You pushed me.
Don't be a panocha,
I say, knowing I'm blowing it out of proportion. I want to get into a fight. I'm asking for it. He knows it. The guy's about my height, my weight. My adrenaline is running high.
You want a piece of me, pendejo?
He says, holding his arms out wide like a bird in flight. Intimidation doesn't work with me.
Come and get it.
Paco runs in between us.
Alex, cool down, man. Either fight or play,
someone shouts.
He said I made a foul,
I tell Paco, my veins pumping. Paco shrugs casually.
You did?
Okay, now when my own best friend doesn't back me up, I know I've lost it. I look around. Everyone is waiting to see what I'm going to do. My adrenaline is in overdrive, matching their heightened anticipation. Do I want to fight? Yeah. If only to get this raw energy out of my body. And to forget, even for a minute, that my camp partner's number is queued up in my cell. And my brother is on the Blood radar to be recruited. My best friend shoves me away from the guy wanting to rip my head off and pushes me to the side of the field. He calls out for subs to take our place in the game.
What'd you do that for?
I ask.
To save your hide, man. Alex, you've lost it. Completely.
I can take that guy. Paco looks straight at me and says,
you're the one acting like a panocha.
I shrug his hands off my shirt and stalk off, not knowing how, in the matter of a few weeks, I've gotten my life screwed up so badly. I need to fix it. I'll deal with Carlos when he comes home tonight. He's gonna get an earful from me. And Brittany? She didn't want me to drive her home from Isa's house because she didn't want to be seen with me. Fuck that shit. Carlos isn't the only one who deserves an earful from me. I flip open my cell and cue Brittany's number.
Hello?
It's Alex, I tell her, although she has caller ID and knows damn well it's me. Meet me at the library, now.
I can't.
This is not the Brittany Ellis show. It's the Alex Fuentes show now. Here's a deal, mamacita, I say as I reach my house and straddle my motorcycle. You either show up at the library in 15 minutes, or I'm bringing 5 friends to your house and we're camping out in your front lawn tonight.
How dare you?
She starts to say, but I close the phone before she can finish her sentence. Revving the engine to block out thoughts of last night when she snuggled into my lap, I realize I don't have a game plan. I wonder if the Alex Fuentes show will end up being a comedy, or, more likely, a tragedy. Either way, it'll be a reality show worth not missing.
Brittany. I'm steaming mad as I pull into the library parking lot and park next to the woods at the far end of the lot. The last thing on my mind is our chemistry project. Alex is waiting for me, leaning against his motorcycle. I take the keys out of the ignition and storm over to him. How dare you order me around? I yell. My entire life is full of people trying to control me. My mom, Colin, and now Alex. I'm done with it. If you think you can threaten me into... Without saying anything, Alex snatches my keys out of my hand and sits in the driver's seat of my Beamer. Alex, what do you think you're doing? Get in. The engine roars. He's going to drive off and leave me stranded in the library parking lot. Clenching my fists, I stomp to the passenger side. When I'm in, Alex revs the engine. Where's my picture of Colin? I ask, eyeing my dashboard. It was taped up there a minute ago. Don't worry, you'll get it back. I don't have the stomach to look at it while I'm driving. Do you even know how to drive a stick? I bark out. Without blinking or looking down, he puts the car into first gear and the car screeches out of the lot. My Beamer follows his lead as if the car and Alex are completely in sync. This is carjacking, you know. Silence. And kidnapping, I add. We're stopped at a light. I look at the cars around us, glad the top is up so no one can see us. Mira, you got in on your own free will, he says. It's my car. What if someone sees us? My words really piss him off because the tires screech angrily when the light turns green. He's purposely ruining my car. Stop it, I order. Take me back to the library. But he doesn't. He's silent as he winds my car through unknown towns and deserted roads, just like people do in the movies when they drive to meet dangerous drug dealers. Great. I'm going on my first drug deal. If I get arrested, will my parents come bail me out? I wonder how my mom's going to explain that one to her friends. Maybe they'll send me away to some military boot camp for delinquents. I bet they'd like that, making Shelley go to a facility and meet a boot camp. My life would suck even more. I will not be a part of anything illegal. I am the ruler of my destiny, not Alex. I grab the handle to the door. Let me out of here, or I swear I'm jumping out. You're wearing a seatbelt. He rolls his eyes. Relax, we'll be there in 2 minutes. He shifts into a lower gear and slows the car as we enter an old, deserted airport.
Okay, we're here, he says as he pulls up the parking brake.
Yeah, okay. But where is here? I hate to tell you, but the last inhabitant place was like 3 miles back. I'm not getting out of the car, Alex. You can do your drug deals on your own.
If I had any doubts you were a true blonde, you've squelched them, he says. As if I'd take you on a drug deal. Get out of the car.
Give me one good reason why I should.
Because if you don't, I'm gonna drag you out. Trust me, mujer.
He puts my keys in his back pocket and steps out of my car. Seeing no other options, I follow him. Listen, if you wanted to discuss our hand warmers, we could have done it over the phone. He meets me around the back of my car. We're standing toe-to-toe in the middle of nowhere. There's been something nagging at me all day. As long as I'm here with him, I might as well ask. Did we kiss last night?
Yes.
Well, it wasn't memorable, because I have no recollection of it. He laughs.
I was kidding. We didn't kiss.
He leans in.
When we kiss, you'll remember it. Forever.
Oh, God. I wish his words didn't leave my knees weak. I know I should be scared, alone with a gang member in a deserted place talking about kissing. But I'm not. Deep in my soul, I know he wouldn't intentionally hurt me or force me to do anything. Why did you kidnap me? I ask. He grabs my hand and leads me to the driver's side.
Get in.
Why?
I'm teaching you how to drive this car properly before the engine falls out from abuse.
I thought you were mad at me. Why are you helping me?
Because I want to.
Oh. I wasn't expecting that at all. My heart is starting to thaw, because it's been a long time since someone cared enough to do something just to help me. Although, this isn't because you want me to pay you back with favors, is it? He shakes his head. For real?
For real.
And you're not mad at me because of anything I said or did?
I'm frustrated, Brittany. About you. About my brother. About a lot of shit.
Then why take me here?
Don't ask questions you're not ready to hear the answer to. Cool?
Cool. I slide into the driver's seat and wait for him to sit beside me.
You ready?
He asks when he's settled and buckled in the passenger seat.
Yep.
He leans over and puts the keys in the ignition. When I release the parking brake and start the car, it dies.
You didn't put it in neutral. If you don't have your foot on the clutch, it's going to die if you're in gear.
I knew that, I say, feeling totally stupid. You're just making me nervous. He puts the stick into neutral for me.
Put your left foot on the clutch, your right foot on the brake, and go into first, he instructs.
Putting my foot on the gas and letting up on the clutch, the car jerks forward. He braces himself with his hand on the dash.
Stop.
I stop the car and put it in neutral.
You've got to find the sweet spot.
I look at him.
The sweet spot? Yeah, you know, when the clutch catches.
He's using his hands when he talks, pretending his hands are the pedals.
You release it too fast. Get that balance and stay there. Feel it out. Try again.
I put the car in first again and let up on the clutch as I press on the gas.
Hold it, he says. Feel the sweet spot. Linger there.
I let out the clutch and hold down the gas pedal, but don't push down on it all the way. I think I got it.
Let go of the clutch now, but don't gun the gas.
I try, but the car jerks, then stalls.
You pop the clutch. Don't release the clutch too fast. Try again,
he says, totally unfazed.
He's not upset, frustrated, or itching to give up. You needed to give it more gas. Don't gun it, but give it enough juice to start moving.
I do the same steps, but this time the car moves forward without jerking. We're on the runway, moving up to 10 miles an hour.
Press in the clutch, he instructs, then puts his hand over mine on the stick and helps me shift into second.
I try to ignore his gentle touch and the warmth of his hand, so contradictory to his personality, and attempt to focus on the task. He's very patient as he instructs in detail how to downshift until we've come to a stop at the end of the runway. His fingers are still wrapped around mine. Lesson over? I ask. Alex clears his throat.
Yeah.
He takes his hand off mine, then weaves his fingers through his black mane, strands falling loosely across his forehead. Thanks, I say.
Yeah, well, my ears were bleeding every time I heard your engine rev in the lot at school. I didn't do it to be a good guy.
I cock my head to the side and try to get him to look at me. He doesn't. Why is it so important that you're perceived as a bad boy? Huh? Tell me.
Alex. For the first time, we're having a civilized discussion. Now I've got to come up with something to break that defensive wall of hers. Oh, man. I need to reveal something that makes me vulnerable. If she sees me as vulnerable instead of an asshole, maybe I can make some headway with her. And somehow I know she'll be able to tell if I'm bullshitting. I'm not sure if I'm doing this for the bet, for the chemistry project, or for me. In fact, I'm totally cool with not analyzing that part of what's happening here. My dad was murdered in front of me when I was 6, I tell her. Her eyes go wide.
Really?
I nod. I don't like talking about it. Not sure I can, even if I want to. Her manicured hands cover her mouth.
I didn't know that. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. That must have been horrible.
Yep. It feels good to let it out, to make myself talk about it out loud. My dad's nervous smile turning into shock right before he was shot. Wow, I can't believe I remembered the expression on his face. Why would his smile be replaced by shock?
That detail was totally forgotten until now. I'm still confused as I turn to Brittany.
If I care too much about shit and it's taken away, I'll feel like I did the day my dad died.